Welcome to the 5-Minute Catch-Up. I'm Nathan McGlai from the primary care team, and here are the things you need to know about the new data sharing agreement. Capital Health Network, with its commitment to the responsible management of data, has supported primary care through the implementation of the PIPQI by providing the tools and knowledge to not only enable practices access to their own data, but to also transform it into useful information which informs a practice's continued pursuit for quality improvement. The new data sharing agreement, however, pushes this commitment further by providing enhanced transparency and clarity to the obligations, privacy requirements, and governance requirements between CHN, ACT's PHN, and the practice. Put simply, the new data sharing agreement makes it very clear what the responsibilities are and who is responsible for them. It is important to note this, however. Practices will always be the owner of identified patient-level data. CHN will never have any data which can be used to identify a person. The data that is shared to CHN is both de-identified and aggregated. Protecting the identified patient-level data from within your own practice, however, is another matter, which is why we've brought in Justin Woods, Chief Technology Officer from Canberra-based IT company OPCIT, to answer some questions about how to ensure the security of your patient-level data from within your practice. Justin has been in the organization for 5 years. However, he's been in the industry for 15. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
So let's get straight into it. I'm sure people often wonder what it means to be digitally secure. From the work that you do, what does it mean to be secure?
To me, it means the protection of computer systems and the prevention of unauthorized access of electronic data. It really is a never-ending process that requires real-time monitoring and regular review to stay ahead of bad actors. By implementing security baselines and proactive monitoring, you can greatly reduce the risk of a breach occurring.
Now, I know that there are a lot of threats that exist in the internet, but from your experience, could you tell us a little bit more about what are the most common threats you'd see within the primary care space?
There are three common threats I'd like to cover with you today. The first being targeted phishing attacks, which are commonly emails that persuade the receiver to open an attachment or fill in a form. These can install malicious software, capture things like usernames and passwords, and collect information to be used in a second stage attack. The second we commonly see are brute force attacks into remote desktop services and hosted email services such as Office 365 that are externally accessible over the internet. And by saying brute force, I mean it's essentially a dictionary attack where there's a list of hundreds of thousands of usernames and passwords, and it just tries one after the other until it eventually works out what your username and password is. The third common threat we see, which is much more rarer, but it still does happen, is malware being installed via a USB found at the practice. An employee may find a USB, say on the floor, pick it up, plug it into your system, and in the background, a piece of malicious software is being installed on your network.
So to flow on from that, what are some of the practical solutions then that we can implement to ensure that computers in primary care remain secure?
Great question. The first one I think should be on the top of the list is ensuring that software and devices are regularly kept up to date. A great example of this was in January of this year, Microsoft ended support for Windows 7. Now this meant that no more updates or security patches were being released for Windows 7. So it was really important to keep your software and devices up to date. The second thing is implement multi-factor authentication. This is where you use a username and password and then enter a code from your mobile phone. The next one I'd like to share is don't open emails that seem suspect. These could be things, say, from a prince saying that you've won $1 million, click here. Definitely avoid those. We also recommend implementing a strong mail filter, which basically validates your email as it comes into the system and blocks anything that's suspect. The last point I'd like to share is engage a suitably experienced IT partner to undertake a security review and determine what the current risks are within your environment.
Perfect. Now, I know that the listeners of this podcast will probably have a lot more questions after hearing all the stuff that we've talked about today. I mean, we've only covered such a small section of a much wider topic. So if people have questions, who should they contact to learn more about their digital security?
So for listeners of today's podcast, we're currently offering complimentary security assessments with no obligation. At a high level, this will see our security team review your IT environment, then we'll provide a report that highlights any risks and a plan to remediate these. To access this offer or to discuss anything IT, please email hello@opc.com.au or phone us on 1300 788 616.
Awesome. Hey, Justin, thank you so much for being on the podcast today to talk a little bit more about computers and how we can keep them secure.
Thank you, Nathan. It's been a great topic to discuss. It's been a pleasure.
And that wraps up our five-minute catch-up. Capital Health Network is always available to answer your queries. If you have any questions regarding any of the information in this podcast, get in contact with us via email available below. Or give us a call on 6287-8099. On behalf of everyone here at Capital Health Network through the ACT-PHN program, we thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode. We'll be right back.